not random. Rather, again, what the Torah is trying to teach us, that Aaron was upset. Last week's parasha, when all the tribal princes are offering their particular offerings, so Aaron's upset. Why is Aaron upset? Because his particular Shevet, his tribe of Levi, was not included in the tribal offerings. Remember again, Levi did not bring karbanos like the rest of the Shvatim. So Chosha Daito Sha Aaron. Aaron's upset. Why isn't that my tribe wasn't included? Therefore, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chayecha Shalchah Gedolah Mishalohem Sha'ata Madlik Umeitiv Es Haneros. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Aaron, Aaron, don't be upset, because your portion is even greater than theirs. What does it mean, your portion is even greater than theirs? Because you, Aaron, have the ability to arrange and to kindle the menorah. So according to Rashi, the nature of the juxtaposition is that Aaron is upset because he feels left out, ultimately, again, from the dedication of the Mishkan, the offering of the tribal princes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu convinces him not to be upset by telling him, you have a great privilege and that you get to kindle the menorah. So according to Rashi, again, the juxtaposition teaches us that the kindling of the menorah wasn't a consolation prize. I want to be clear. It's not Aaron's consolation prize, but it's saying, again, that Aaron, you have a great privilege, even greater than the offering of the tribal princes. You have the opportunity to kindle the menorah. So the Ramban, in number 4, asks on this. And the Ramban says, you know, what does this mean? He says, Velonis Barerli. He says, it's not clear to me. Lama Nachamu Bahadlakas Haneros. See, interesting enough, the Ramban says, I don't understand. Rashi makes it sound like that Aaron's, you know, the best opportunity, the best privilege that Aaron had was the kindling of the menorah. So the Ramban points out, I don't understand why this is dafka the thing that consoles Aaron. After all, v'lo nachamu b'ketores boker v'erev sheshevacho ba'akasuv yasimu ketora ba'apecha u'b'chol ha'karbanos u'b'minchas chavitim u'b'avodos yom ha'kipurim she'in l'kshere elabo v'nichnos lefnai v'lefim. So the Ramban says, I don't understand, Aaron, you have so many unique privileges and opportunities in the service of God. Aaron, you are the only man who gets to go into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. You are the only person who gets to offer up Ketores, the incense. You are the only person who gets to offer up certain communal karbanos. You have so many unique privileges. Why is it that somehow it was the menorah that settled Aaron's mind? Aaron is upset about feeling left out, that he didn't have an opportunity to participate in the offering of the tribal princes. And for some reason, says Rashi, the Ketores didn't make him feel better. The incense, the entering into the Kodesh Kodesh, Holy of Holies, that didn't make him feel better. The Avodah, sacrificial service of Yom Kippur, didn't make him feel better. Nothing made him feel better except for what? The menorah. So why the menorah? What's special about the menorah that settles Aaron's mind and allows him to no longer feel left out? And this is a famous Ramban. The Ramban writes, he says, skip down. He says, we're still in paragraph Aleph. Skip down a little bit. He says, Aval Inyon, look at the last three lines of paragraph Aleph. Aval Inyon Hagoda Zu, Lidrosh Remez Mina Parsha Achanuka Shalneros. Shahaisa Babayishini Ayede Aaron Ubanov, Ritzoni Lomar, Chashmonoi, Koin Godol Ubanov. So here, of course, is the famous Ramban, where the Ramban sees in here a biblical allusion, a reference to the miracle of Hanukkah. So remember again, what was unique about the miracle of Hanukkah? So remember again, coming attractions, it's almost Hanukkah, it's almost Pesach, it's almost Rosh Hashanah. So remember again, we know Hanukkah, great war against the Syrian Greeks. We go ahead and we beat them militarily. But of course, the event that symbolized Jewish victory was what? Was the kindling of the menorah. By the way, this is even before the miracle of the cruse of oil. Even aside from the miracle of the Pach Shemen, what rededicated Jewish life after victory over the Syrian Greeks was the kindling of the menorah. So says the Ramban, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately was telling Aaron was the following. I'm giving you a unique privilege. Yes, it's going to be a daily mitzvah. You're going to kindle the menorah every single day. But Aaron, you know what else is special? In those moments when all looks like it is lost, when those moments when we are suffering under the oppression of tyrannical rule, in those moments when it looks like others are trying to stamp out the light of your people, Aaron, you and your offspring will always have the power to rededicate. The kindling of the menorah is not simply a daily mitzvah. The kindling of the menorah menorah, says the Ramban, is a symbol of rededication of Jewish spirit, rededication of Jewish life. The kindling of the menorah represents the idea that no matter what happens, no matter what our enemies try to do to us, we're always able to rebound, we're always able to rekindle, we're always able to reignite. And the Chodesh Baruch Hu says to Aaron, yes, it's true. The tribal princes brought with them many different offerings, many different karbonos. But you, Aaron, you have the opportunity to kindle the menorah now and throughout the ages. And even when everything else is extinguished, even when the sacrifices are no longer being brought on the temple, even when the incense is no longer being offered, and even when the ark is no longer in the Holy of Holies, as it wasn't during the Second Temple era, you and your children will always be given the gift to dedicate and rededicate the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash. So according to the Ramban, so remember, just to trace our progression, so Rashi's trying to understand the nature of the juxtaposition between the offering of the tribal princes at the end of Parashas Naso to the mitzvah to kindle the menorah at the beginning of Parashas Baloscha. Rashi says again, Aaron is upset. He feels left out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't feel left out. I'm giving you something even bigger and better than the tribal princes. What's bigger and better than the tribal princes? The kindling of the menorah. Ramban, why is kindling of the menorah greater than the tribal princes? Meaning what? And first of all, if you want to make Aaron feel good about his service of God, he's doing so many things already. But rather, again, the kindling of the menorah represents the ability to dedicate the holiness of first the Mishkan, then the Beis HaMikdash, and to rededicate. In that moment when religious life has virtually been stamped out, in that moment where the altar is dormant, in that moment when the incense is not burning, in that moment where the Holy of Holies does not have its same holiness, you will be able to kindle the menorah and rededicate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Aaron that you and your children have been vested with the special gift of spiritual fortitude. That when everyone else gives up, when everyone else yields, when everyone else allows the fire of spirituality to be extinguished, Aaron, in that moment, you and your sons rise up and you rekindle the menorah physically as well as spiritually. That's the Ramban. If you take a look for a moment, we're going to skip a little bit. Take a look at number 5. So I want to do with you tonight a beautiful piece from the Sichos Mos, from Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And Chaim Shmulevitz quotes a beautiful medrash. Amru Chazal, it's a little bit of a long piece, but we'll do it together tonight. So he writes the following. He says, Amru Chazal, Amru Yisrael Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he quotes over here from the medrash Rabbah. Klal Yisrael said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Lanu ata omer shinar lefanecha. God, you're telling us to kindle a menorah before you. That doesn't make any sense. Atahu oro shel olam. God, you are the light of the entire world. So why is the light of the entire world telling man to kindle a couple of candles, to kindle a couple of lights on the menorah? So he goes on. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo shani tzarech lachem. You're right. I don't need your light. Ela sheta'iru li kederach sha'arti lachem. Rather, what do I want? I want you to illuminate for me the same way that I have illuminated for you. Lama, what does this mean? La'alos eschem b'fnei ha'umos. In order, why do I need this? In order to raise you up in front of the nations. She'yu omrim ru'u yis'ech yisran me'irim l'mishu meir l'chol ha'olam. See who Klal Yisrael, or see how Klal Yisrael shines, because they are shining for the whole world. Mashal l'mad davar domer. To what can this be compared? The pikach v'suma shayim halchem derech. Listen to this mashal. Like a blind man and a seeing man who are walking together on the road. Amar lo pikach v'suma kishenichnas l'soch habayis say v'hidlik es haner hazeh v'heirli. So listen to this. So they're traveling. When they get to the house, the seeing man says to the blind man, "Do me a favor. You go in first. And you turn on the lights. You kindle the candles in the home. Illuminate the home." Amalei asuma b'tavascha kishayisi b'derech ato hayisi misamcheni ad shenichnesu l'soch habayis ato hayisam alava osi v'achshav ato omer hadleik lias haner hazeh v'heirli. So the seeing man says to the blind man, the blind man says to the seeing man, "I don't understand. This whole time during the journey, you're the one who's leading me. Right? You're the one who's helping me. And now we finally get to the house, and now you tell me to illuminate the house for you. It doesn't make sense." Rather, what should happen? The seeing man should be the one ultimately, again, who illuminates the home, ultimately for the blind man. But listen to the answer. Amalei apikeach, shelote machzik litova, paragraph beis, shayisi melava baderech, lachin amarti heirli. So what does the seeing man say to the blind man? I'm going to allow you the opportunity to illuminate the home in order that you could express your gratitude to me for leading you on the road. In other words, that what's happening over here is that the seeing man has performed an incredible tov, an incredible good for the blind man. And the seeing man now is giving the blind man the opportunity to express his gratitude for the chesed of the seeing man. How does he allow him to express his gratitude? You go in and you illuminate the home for me. Now we're not on the road anymore. We're in the safety, the confines of the home. Now you go ahead and illuminate the home for me. So look what the Medrash says. Look what the Medrash says. So paragraph base. Kacha pikeach ze HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Nimshal, of course, the message is the seeing man, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vasuma, who are the blind people? Elu Yisrael, that's us. Haya HaKadosh Baruch Hu manhig umer lohem. So remember again, for all these years throughout the desert, God was leading us throughout the desert, leading our way, lighting our way. Shine Emar, Vashem Holech Lifnehem Yomam. Kevan Shamad HaMishkan, Kara HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Va'amar Lo, Ta'iru Li, Shene Emar, Baloscha Asaneros, B'Shvil La'alos Lochem. So the Medrash says something very interesting. So the Medrash says, all of this time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is illuminating the way for us. And by the way, that's not just metaphorical, that's quite literal as well. Because remember again, by day, we had the cloud, and at night, we had the fire. The fire, of course, yes, was for warmth, but was also for what? Also for illumination purposes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Medrash says to us, I've been illuminating the way for you all of this time. Now that you have a home, now that there's a residence, now that there's a place called the Mishkan, it is up to you now to provide illumination for me. So what's the pshat? So what does this mean? Let's take a look at paragraph Gimel. He says, Kan hi iru, actually it's the paragraph before Gimel. Kan hi iru vezbir lan chazal, es godel inyan hadlakas hamenorah. So here Chazal are teaching us, what is the power of the kindling of the menorah? Shekiv yachol himishalmim bekaches kriyuvam avur mashe heir lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu es darkam b'midbar. Says the Medrash, what Chazal is teaching us is ultimately again that the kindling of the menorah was literally a way for Klal Yisrael to pay back the goodness and the kindness bestowed upon us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at paragraph Gimel. So remember again, this, I know it sounds strange, but we'll walk through. So here, God provided us with all of this illumination. The seeing man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, provided the blind man, us, Klal Yisrael, with all this illumination. We get to the home, the Mishkan. The seeing man says to the blind man, I've done so much good for you. Here is your opportunity to reciprocate. Here is your opportunity to express your gratitude. You go in and illuminate the home. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, you illuminate the Mishkan. Paragraph Gimel. V'zeh shomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Aron. This is what God meant when he said to Aaron, Chayecha, that's what he meant when he said to Aaron, Aaron, your service is even greater than the Nisim. Sha'ata madliku meitiv es haneros, ki avoda zu, listen to this, hi hakaras hatov. Rechayim Shalav posits that the greatness of the kindling of the menorah, why is it considered to be such a great avoda? Because it's an expression of gratitude. The kindling of the menorah is an expression of hakaratov, an expression of gratitude. He says, and here the Sichus Musar says something amazing. He says, do you want to know why there is so much emphasis placed on the kindling of the menorah? He says, the kindling of the menorah represents hakaras of gratitude. Now here, remember, every single part of service in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, has some type of deeper metaphorical meaning, right? There's nothing that's just stam, everything has deeper meaning. Chaim Shlavit says the message, or the metaphor, not the metaphor, but the symbolism of the menorah is hakaras hatov, is an expression of gratitude. Gratitude for what? The same way that God led us with light, we were in the darkness, literally and metaphorically, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu lit and illuminated our way. So in God's home, I provide the illumination. I illuminate the Ribono Shel Olam. When I say I, the Kohen, illuminates God's home by providing illumination. Not because God needs it. God could provide his own illumination. Rather, why am I doing it? Because the act of illuminating the home of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what? Hakaras HaTov. a din in gratitude. Just like the mashal. Just like when they get to the home, the seeing man says to the blind man, I'm going to give you the opportunity to express your gratitude. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, the kindling of the menorah, the illuminating of God's home, is an act of hakaras hatov, of gratitude for all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. Meaning the amazing part here, so what the Chazal is saying is, you know, what do you give the God who has everything, right? What do you get for the God who has everything? And the answer is nothing, except you could say thank you. You could express your gratitude. You could be makir tov. So how does hakaras hatov manifest itself in the Mishkan? By we take the responsibility to illuminate the Mishkan. I'm going to turn on the lights. I'm going to turn on the menorah. Ribono Shel Olam, I got this. I'm going to illuminate your home. Not because you need it, but because this is the way I'm going to express my gratitude for all of the beautiful miracles you do for me. And as such, that's the meaning. Rashi said, remember again, Aaron's depressed. In number two, literally, again, if you look at the Lashon is Chol Shadaito. Chol Shadaito in number two, Rashi's saying, Aaron is upset. Why is Aaron upset? Why is he upset? He's upset because in the previous parasha, all the tribal princes have the opportunity to do what? To bring their offering. And Aaron is saying, Shevet Levi is not represented. I don't have an opportunity to bring anything. I feel depressed. I feel left out. I feel upset. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there's nothing to be upset about. Shelcha gidola mishalohem. What the opportunity you have is greater than the opportunity they have. The opportunity they have is to bring animal sacrifices, which is very nice. But you have the greatest of all opportunities, and that's what? The ability to express gratitude. Because there is nothing greater in life, there is no greater privilege than the ability to express your gratitudes towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to say thank you. And you know, my friends, the greatest expression of gratitude in life is when you do something for someone, not because they need something, or not because you feel compelled to, but because you have such a sincere desire to just say thank you. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aaron, every single day you and your children are going to have the opportunity to turn the lights on in the Mishkan. And you're going to do it not because I need you to provide illumination, but because you are actively choosing to go ahead and do this. You're actively choosing to express gratitude on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And that's the greatest privilege that exists within the Mishkan. Rechem Shalavitz goes on. He says, look at paragraph Dalet. Ukhidei lahavin eskolta ha-ma'la b'tashum shakar. So Rechem Shalavitz goes on, and it's a much longer piece than I put for you on the Shibor. We're just going to do a couple of pieces of it. He says something amazing. He says, in order to understand the full profundity of what it means to acknowledge good, to have a course of gratitude, he says, nisponi no bekam mekomos b'tora, v'nira eskodel ha-chiyo shel akara satov. Let's examine a couple of different examples, ultimately again, of where we have expression of gratitude. Shechiyuv zeh einol rakafi ma shemakir umevin ha'adam midaito, dugmas ma sh'om rabbi akiva l'talmidav al ishto. So remember, again, he says, for example, there are many different examples that we have of Hakaras HaTov. One of the examples we have is when Rabbi Akiva said to his students about his wife, Shemasra naf shel osora va'al yodah nepach miratzon l'rabin shel Yisrael, Sheliva shalachem shalahi. Al Hakaras HaShemecheyeves HaTorah, Hi ba'ofen achel legamri. So listen to this. So remember, when we think about Hakaras HaTov, says Rechem Shalom, is the paradigmatic example of human gratitude, is Rabbi Akiva and his wife. So remember again, Rachel, the daughter of Kalba Savua, marries Rabbi Akiva. Oh, he's not Rabbi Akiva, he's Akiva. He's Akiva the shepherd. He's Akiva the ignoramus. She marries him. And remember, when she marries him, she forfeits everything. Her father disowns her. She was from a very wealthy family. Her father disowns her. She has absolutely nothing. Why does she marry this guy, this ignorant shepherd? Because he believes in her. Excuse me. Because he believes in her, but she believes in him. She sees ultimately that he can become someone great. And remember again, after he goes away to yeshiva to learn for a good number of years, he comes back. Remember, Rachel has been working as a cleaning lady, essentially, in the interim, to be able to support her husband, to be able to support her life. She comes home. She comes, and she literally falls at his feet. No one knows who this lady is. They think that she's just a crazy woman. They begin to push her away. Rabbi Akiva says, Hinichula, leave her alone. And before husband and wife even have an ability to exchange a word, he says to all of those assembled, leave her, because Shali v'shalachem shalahi. Everything I am and everything you are is all because of her. So that's Shechem Shel Avos. When we think about Karzov gratitude, that's the paradigmatic example of gratitude. Because here, and again, it makes sense, because here at the end of the day, she gave him something tangible. It was only because of her self-sacrifice that he was able to become not just something, but one of the greatest leaders the Jewish people ever had. But Shechem Shel Avos says, sometimes Hakaras HaTov, gratitude, is much more nuanced. Turn the page for just a moment. Look at paragraph A. This is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Ksiv vayishma Reuven v'atzlia mi'adam. Remember again, the Torah says that Reuven heard, and he saved him from their hands. In reference to Yosef. So remember again, the brothers are out shepherding the flock in Shechem. Yosef comes along, and the brothers decide we're going to kill him. So what happens? Reuven hears out what's going on, and he saves Yosef from them. Va'amru Chazal v'heichan haya. Where was Reuven? Rabbanan Amri Amar Reuven humona osi emachai va'ani matzilo ani ayisi saver shenidachti mikoach osa maisa v'humona osi emachai shneemar va'achad asar kochavim mishtachavim li ve'ani matzilo. It's very interesting. So Chazal are intrigued. Why does Reuven stick up for Yosef? Right? Again, we have no indication that Reuven liked Yosef any more than any of the other brothers. So why does Reuven stick up for Yosef? So the Medrash says something absolutely amazing. You know, there's the episode where the Torah says that Reuven slept with Bilhah, right? His father's wife. So remember again, Chazal tell us that pasuk is not to be understood literally, but rather what happened? After the death of Rachel Imenu, so Yaakov moved his bed from the tent of Rachel, which was he primarily lived, to the tent of Bilhah, Rachel's maidservant. Reuven is incensed because Reuven says, look, you know, when Rachel was alive, I understand my mother was always second to Rachel. But my mother Leah is not going to be second to Rachel's maidservant. So he picks up Yaakov's bed and he moves it to the tent of his mother Leah. So the Torah says again that because he disrespected the bed of a tzaddik to such a degree, the Torah faults him with a very serious transgression. Says Medrash something amazing. Because I committed this transgression, so I didn't know if I have a place anymore in the Abrahamic family. I didn't know if I actually am going to be counted as one of the tribes after this transgression. But then I heard what? Then I heard Yosef's dream. And remember, what did Yosef say in his dream? In his dream, what did he see? He saw 11 stars bowing down to him. And while everyone else is getting upset over the dream, what's Reuven's reaction? He's thrilled. Why? Why? Because 11 stars means that he's still counted as one of the Shvatim. So says Reuven, the brother whose dream affirmed for me that I still have a place in the Abrahamic family is in trouble, and I'm not going to step in to save him. I'm not going to step in to help him. Of course, I have to do something. See, so he goes on, paragraph Vav, Kilomar, Chazal Perishu, Vayishma Reuven, Miloshin is Bonin or Subinas Aleph, Ki Kishadonu Ashvatim as Yosef, the Chi of Misa, Hayimushat Apidin, Vafrubin Hayiman Bigimartin, Velochazbo, skip down a little bit. Paragraph Zayin. Vishes Boni, the Esim Chiuvosha Reuven, Akertov Yosef, the Chi Maasalo Yosef, Vahari Lohayakan Elachalom, Vikra Cholom, Afhulo Haya El Tovas Yosef. Elosh, Shabaderech Agov, no del Reuven, Aide Osa Cholom, Shlo Nitchemikoch Osa Maisa, Farinimna Bishavimachav. So listen to this. Ask yourselves, I don't understand. Reuven, what gratitude do you owe to Yosef? When Yosef told over his dreams, why did Yosef tell over his dreams? So there are one or two possibilities. Either because he was just talking, or that he understood that somehow these dreams have some type of prophetic message, and he was sharing it with his family. But one thing is clear, which is what? Right? It had nothing to do with Reuven. His intention was not to somehow calm Reuven's fears that he had been pushed out of the family. I told Reuven, don't worry about it, you're in. There are 11 stars in the dream. It probably didn't even dawn on him that Reuven, first of all, who says that Reuven even ever articulated these feelings? But yet through the dream, Reuven felt that his position in the Abrahamic family was secured. And therefore, Sezer Chaim Shalev is something so amazing. He says, middle of paragraph Zayin, V'roem mikan sha'af taina kazu, humona o What do you see from here? You see from here that when people do something good for you, even when what? when it's not their intent. Right? You know, sometimes somebody does nice to me and they don't even realize it's something nice to me. It was, they weren't even thinking about me, but it resulted in something nice for me. Says Rechaim Shulevitz, there's a din, there's a requirement of hakaras lov. In other words, that of course the episode of Rabbi Akiva and Rachel and his wife, Shali v'shalachem shalai, everything I am, you are, it's because of her. That's obvious. Of course, that's a case of mesiras nefesh. That's a case where someone is actively sacrificing on my behalf. Of course I have to have gratitude. But the extent of Jewish gratitude of hakaras hatov goes even beyond that. The full scope of Jewish gratitude is measured and is felt even when what? Even when someone does something nice for me and what? And it wasn't even their intention. They don't even know what they did for me. Or they didn't even have me in mind. Even in that case, I have an obligation to reciprocate and I have an obligation to express gratitude. So you begin to see a theme. What's the theme? You see, when we speak about gratitude, people often assume that gratitude is a din in menschlichkeit. You have to be a mensch. Somebody does something nice for you, you have to be a mensch. Well, if that's the definition, if it's menschlichkeit, then what? Then let's say the person who did something nice for me has no idea what he or she did for me, had even no intention to do something nice for me. Do I have an obligation to say thank you, to reciprocate, to express gratitude? Yeah. Well, if it's a din in menschlichkeit, the answer should be no. If the person didn't mean to do it, Yosef didn't mean to do anything good for me. In fact, again, he was serving his own interests. It was a secondary benefit to me that he was not even knowledgeable or aware of. So why do I have to express gratitude for that? Because the din of hakaras hatov is to sensitize us to the good that others do for us, which ultimately sensitizes us to the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. You see, what's the great challenge of life? The great challenge of life is, if you ask me what's wrong in life, I can rattle that off really quickly. Right? I can tell you everything that's wrong in my life. I can tell you everything that's wrong in the world. I can tell you that without missing a beat. If you tell me, well, tell me what's good in life, so then I have to take a step back. Right? Because remember, again, all those things that are beautiful and good in life, we often take for granted. You know, the Stipler points out that in Shemona Esrei, every single day in Modim, we say, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Modim Anachu, we thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for what? Al Nisecha Shebechol Yomimanu. Thank you for the miracles you give us every single day. I asked the Stipler, I don't know about you, it was raining the other day, it was pouring, and you know, I was in front of a puddle, I said to Kapet Lachav, tell me, you know, it didn't split, right? The puddle still remained. So what miracles are there? So again, we call them nature, we take them for granted, but there are miracles every single day. The fact that a person wakes up in the morning and their heart is beating, their vision is working, their ears are working, I can get up the stairs, my legs are working, we could speak, we could formulate thought, the synapses of the brain, all these things are incredible miracles. The problem is we take them for granted. Therefore, Judaism places an incredible emphasis on hakaras lov, on gratitude, because if I condition myself to be grateful for every single thing you do for me, whether you intend to do it or don't intend to do it, but if it's something that benefits me, I'm going to express my gratitude. That conditions me to be a grateful person. And by being conditioned to become a grateful person, I begin to appreciate and understand the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for me as well. Therefore, Reuven, Yosef was not thinking about you for a moment when he spoke about his dream. He was not giving you a message, either overt or nuanced. He didn't have you in mind. He wasn't thinking about you. I bet you felt good because of his message, right? His words gave you chizuk. You owe him gratitude. Vayishma Reuven, vayatzireu miadam. Reuven is willing to put his neck on the line to save his brothers, save Yosef, to risk, right, evoking the ire of his fellow brothers. Why? Because he feels a debt of gratitude for Yosef, for something Yosef doesn't even know that he did for his oldest brother, but because it was something positive, Reuven has an obligation to reciprocate. Another example. Look at paragraph Yud. So look at the second paragraph between Yud and Yud. Amar HaKosov, Vayelech Moshe Vayeshev Yeser Chosno, Vayomar Lo El Chana Vashuva, Vamru Chazal, Bishashma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Va'ata Lecha Vayishlacha Aparo. So listen to this. This is amazing. The Medrash writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush. And he says, Moshe, here's the deal. You're going to Egypt, you're going to redeem the Jewish people. Pack your bags, you're going. What does Moshe say to God? Can you believe this? Amar Ribono Olamim, Ein Yochol, Mipnei Shekiblani Yisro, Upasach Li Beiso. So can you listen to this exchange? God says to Moshe, you're going to go to Egypt, you're going to redeem the Jewish people. And what does Moshe essentially say to God? God, listen, I have to ask permission from Yisro. What? God told you to go and you have to ask permission from Yisrael? Yes. You know why it says Moshe Rabbeinu? Because when the rest of the people in my life closed their door on me, Yisrael opened the door. And it's true. He's an idolater. And it's true for now, at this point in time. Right? And it's true again. He has always, he's the one man that opened his door to me. And I know you're God, but I can't take leave without asking his permission. That's the extent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at paragraph Yud Aleph. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalech is Moshe to Mitzrayim. God sent Moshe Rabbeinu to Mitzrayim. V'ashlichu si latzol si Yisrael. Remember, he's being sent to Egypt to save the entire Jewish people. V'im kol zos, ein Moshe yachol lemali es ha-shlichus kol ot shlo nadur shes mimi she-pasach lo es pesach beso. And yet, amazingly enough, Moshe Rabbeinu can't go without what? Without first asking permission to the person who opened his home to him in times of distress. V'lamo? I owe him my life. So amazing. So this is the extent of Hakaras HaTov. Again, remember, understand, why did Yisrael open his home to Moshe Rabbeinu?
He had a lot of orders.
Exactly. Right? At the end of the day, this is about Shidduchim. It's about Shidduchim. Remember again, Tzipora comes home and Tzipora says, Dad, we had a little bit of a run-in at the well because the shepherd started up with us, but this guy saved... A guy? A guy? Right? Where is he? Right? Why don't you bring him home? This is not about saving someone who's running away. This is literally about marrying off his daughters. This, again, just like Yosef has no intention to benefit Reuven, Yisro's intention is not Gemilas Chesed. It's Chesed for his daughter. But it's not Chesed for this runaway guy from Egypt. He doesn't care. Whether he's from Egypt or from, who cares? If you're a nice guy, you're a decent individual, you're a mensch, marry him. Which, by the way, is a very good muster in general. If he's a nice guy, if he's a mensch, if he's a good person, marry him. Right? So again, you see examples over here of what? Of individuals, ultimately, again, who are doing good for others, but it's self-serving good. They have no intention for the other, but yet, the obligation of Hakaras HaTov says you have to express your gratitude for when people do good things to you, even when their intent was not to benefit you. Look at paragraph Yud Beis. V'zehu sod ma'alas, I'm sorry, turn the page, last page. V'zehu sod ma'alas hadlokas ha-menorah sh'yesh ba-yoseh mikal avodah shel ha-mikdash. Therefore, this, says Rechaim Shulevitz, this is the secret of the menorah. Now we understand why the kindling of the menorah was considered to be the highest of all services in the Beis HaMikdash. Apiyamashal shem shilu chazal binyan apikach v'asuma shamar apikach l'suma shlotei machzik li tova shayisam alava baderach kilomar shehergashto chachiyo v'achzakto tova machbida ma'ot ala adam ad shemuchrachu l'shalim osa be'iza ofen shiye v'zeme godol chato shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenosan l'yisram makom kol shu l'shalim k'tas mechovam la'HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelam amid ba'arbaim shana and v'yad lakas hamra beis ha-mikdash. Ultimate says Rechaim Shmulevitz, now we understand the profundity of the menorah. The ketores, incense is special. Karbanos are special. Going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, says all these things are special. But the menorah stands in a category of its own. Why? Because the menorah was the one avoda, the one part of temple service where the Jew has the opportunity to do a most spectacular thing, which is to express gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam, you light up my life in so many ways. You provide me with so much light. You provide me with so much blessing. You provide me with so much good. And I want to express my gratitude through a small act. I want to express my gratitude by illuminating your home. Allow me, I know you could do it yourself, you're God, but allow me to have the privilege to illuminate your home. Because if you give me that privilege, then ultimately what? You give me perhaps the opportunity for one of the greatest Jewish actions, or one of the greatest Jewish values, which is Hakaras HaTov, expression of gratitude. This, says Rechaim Shulevitz, is the deeper meaning of Rashi. So understand now what we have. So if we put this all together, remember, tonight we're focusing on one simple question, which is, Rashi's question, what's the nature of the juxtaposition between the mitzvah to kindle the menorah that God gives to Aaron and the offering of the offerings of the tribal princes at the end of last week's parsha? Rashi explains again what's happening with Aaron after the offering of the tribal princes. What's happening with Aaron? Chol Shadaitu, he's depressed. I feel left out. It's not right. My tribe's not represented. I wasn't represented. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Aaron, Don't be upset. I'm going to give you something greater than anyone else has. The menorah. How is the menorah greater than what anyone else has? So again, remember, answer one was the Ramban. The Ramban explains what? Why is the menorah greater? What is it a reference to? Chanukah. Right? Because the menorah represents the ability to rekindle, to rededicate, to have a resurgence. That ultimately, again, the menorah represents the ability to regenerate spiritually, to rededicate spiritually. The menorah represents the ongoing ability of the Jew to lift himself up, to rekindle his soul, and to rededicate himself to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Beis HaMikdash was rededicated. That Jewish life was not rededicated through the military defeat of the Syrian Greeks, but rather Jewish life was rededicated in the Second Temple era by the kindling of the menorah. Aaron, you and your sons will forever hold the key to rekindling the Jewish soul, even in the darkest of times. That's the Ramban. Now, Chaim Shulevitz says, no, it's something else. You know why the menorah is greater than anything else, greater than the ketores, and greater than the karbanos, greater than the kodesh hakodashim and Yom Kippur? It's greater. Why? Because the menorah is hakaras hatov. The whole essence of the avoda, of the temple service of the menorah, is a way to express gratitude to God. Ribono shel olam, you light up my life in so many ways. I'm the blind man, and God leads me throughout life. He illuminates my ways in ways. He illuminates my life in ways that I don't even recognize. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to begin to recognize that. So because you light up my life in so many ways, allow me the privilege of lighting up your home. Allow me the privilege of illuminating your home. I know you can do it, but I want to do it as an expression of gratitude. Therefore, Sirach HaShlav is something amazing, that every single day when the Kohen lit the menorah, and by the way, just to amplify the question more, you know that one of the miracles that occurred in the Mishkan and in the first temple was what? That there was a fire that came down from Shamayim. Right, there was a fire that came down from the heavens to consume all of the sacrifices on the altar. So this just amplifies the question. If there's already a fire coming down from the heavens, then what? Then what? Then why do you have to light the menorah? Just let a little shtick fire come down over here on the menorah also. Take a little bit from the mizbeach. Why do I have to do it myself? Because this is not a utilitarian kindling. This is a gratitudinal. I mean, I just made up that word, right? A gratitudinal kindling. That this is a kindling of Hakaras HaTov. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you do so much for me. And so I want to give a little something back to you. And says Chaim Shulevitz, for all time, when Jews see the Kohen kindling the menorah, we are reminded of the lesson of gratitude. How important it is to have gratitude, not just to people who actively do things for us, but to have gratitude for people even who do things for us very kind of secondarily or very tangentially or don't even realize they're doing something nice for us. They're actually doing something for themselves, but it results in something nice for me. There's still a din of Hakaras HaTov. Why such an emphasis on gratitude? Because if we cultivate a sense of gratitude for what we do for one another, that helps us to cultivate a sense of gratitude for all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. The things that we take for granted, the things we don't pay attention to, the things we just think we're entitled to. If we cultivate gratitude for one another, for the intended goodness and unintended goodness, we ultimately awaken within ourselves a heightened sense of gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all He does as well. Let me end off with one last approach to understand the juxtaposition. Go back for a moment to number four. So the Toldos Yitzchak was Rav Yitzchak Karo, who was the nephew of Rav Yosef Karo, the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch. Sirah Perish and Chumash. So he says the following. Fine, turn the page. The Medrash. He calls the Medrash Rabbah. Another beautiful Medrash. Now, at first glance, it's going to sound the same, but you're going to see that it's very different. The Medrash writes, Mashal lemahadavar doma. To what can this be compared? Lemelech shayla ohev. To a king who had someone who he loved very much. Listen to how beautiful this is. Va'amar lo hamelech etzlochani soed. And what happened? The king said to the person who loves you very much, I'm going to come join you for dinner. That's the chahaya, so I'm going to come join you for dinner today. Hiskin li makom, so halach viskin ki pikocho. So what happened? So the king was going to have dinner with someone. He says to his friend, I'm going to come to my house, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to join you for dinner. And he says to the friend, do me a favor, just prepare a nice table for me, prepare a good suda for me, fine. Kevin Shabbat, so remember again, the king's friend is a commoner, is a regular guy. So listen to this medrash. Kevin Sheba HaMelech, Bo'o imo shamoshin v'sankliti mikan u'mikan u'menoro shalzo mikan u'mikan. So what happens? So the king shows up, you know, so the king doesn't just show up. What happens when the king shows up for dinner? When the king shows up for dinner, he comes with all of his attendants, right? And all of his servants. And they're all holding their own golden candelabras and all the different... They're coming with a whole procession. Kevan shira avo kala kavarazeh. This bayish vehit bin kol mashiskinos. Can you imagine this? So now the king's friend, who's a simple guy, he set the table nicely, right? He's got his nice simple china and his flatware and maybe some nice glass cups, and he has the table set very beautifully. But when he sees all of the accoutrements, the monarchical accoutrements, all the different parts of the king's procession, he becomes very embarrassed. And what does he do? He clears off the table. It's embarrassing for the king to come into my house. Better for the table to be bare. We'll set the table with the king's stuff than to have my stuff out. Amar lo ha-melech. So the king walks in and the table's bare. And the king says to him, Lo amarti lecha she'etzlecha ani soit. Did I not tell you that I'm coming for dinner? V'lama lo hitkanto klum. Why did you not set the table? Why did you set the table? I told you I was coming. Amar lo adoni ha-melech ra'isi es kol ha-kavod hazeh. So this friend says, listen, my king, I set the table, I prepared a beautiful su'uda, I did everything, but to be honest, when I saw your procession, I got embarrassed, and so I put all of my stuff away, I just cleared the table. Listen to this beautiful medrash. The king says, no, I don't want to dine on my utensils. They follow me with stuff. We're going to put all of my stuff away. I only want to dine with your utensils. I only want to dine at your table. I only want to eat your food. Why? Bishvil ahavascha. Because your table, when you set your table, it's because you love me. When you serve me your food, it's because you love me. Is your cuisine as fine as mine? No. Is your silver as fine as mine? No. Is your crystal as nice as mine? Absolutely not. But I want to eat on your plates. I want to use your dishes. I want to use your flatware. I want to drink from your glasses. Why? Because the table that you are preparing for me is representative of the love you have for me. He goes on, he says, Kacha Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kula Ora. So listen to this, God is all light, right? God is the one who created the luminaries. God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And what does he say? So can you imagine this? The entity that created the sun, the moon, and the stars says to us, you know, why don't you set up a little candelabra? Why don't you kindle a couple of candles? Alright, so the Medrash goes on. So what's the message of the Medrash here? The Medrash, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says the same thing to us. I know, God walks into the Mikdash, and He's the creator of the sun, the moon, and the stars, the Father and creator of all illumination, all light in this world. So Kadosh Baruch Hu comes, Klal Yisrael says, I'm not going to kindle this, Fashtunkin, I mean, what am I going to do with this? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I only came here for your light. I could produce a lot of light myself, but I want your light. Because the light that you produce because you love me, because you care about me, because you take the time to produce this. What's the message here? Here's the beautiful part. In last week's parasha, we read all about sacrifices, karbanos, and those were some pretty significant karbanos. There were oxen and cattle and sheep, and there was gold, and there was silver, and there was brass, and there was all different kinds of things. A lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of resources. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us in this week's parasha, lest you think that I need all of those things, I don't. You know the only thing I need from you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Just bring a little bit of your light. Just create a little bit of your personal light. Just kindle your menorah. Just put some of your light in this world. And when you do that, that's all I want. I'm the creator of everything. And when I walk in, I come with my entire universe. But all I want to see is that you kindle a little bit of light through your chesed, through your Torah, through your mitzvos, through your tzedakah, through all the things you do. Just kindle your menorah. Just make a little bit of light in your life. Make a little bit of light in your world. And that is so precious to me. That is so near to me. Yes, the sacrifices are very nice. And the tons of gold and silver and oxen is very beautiful. But lest you think that it's just the big things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Aaron in this week's parasha? Baloscha es haneros. I'm just as happy with a little wick as I am with a team of cattle, as long as it comes from your heart, as long as it becomes because you love me, as long as it's because ultimately it's an expression of your connection to me. And this is the incredible lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Aaron HaKohen, and ultimately by extension teaching us. God does not require the big sacrifices. Connection or expression of love doesn't always have to take place through magnificent, large, and incredibly big events. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants of us is expressions of love. He just wants to know we're in this relationship. He just wants to know we care. Think about it in human relationships, right? Here's the perfect example of this, right? Your kids come home. It doesn't make a difference whether it's Mother's Day, Father's Day, or some other day. And they give you a card. They give you a card, right? So what's the nature? So what's the general? If you were to put that card on eBay, how much would you get for it? Zero, right? You'd have to pay somebody else to take that. Objectively, my kids don't listen to this show, because I can say this. It's junk, right? It's apps, right? It's junk. It's junk. It's filled with spelling errors. The coloring is totally out of the lines, right? It's junk. But yet every single parent knows it's priceless. Why? Because it comes from a heart filled with love. Because there's someone in my life who loves me enough to pick up their crayons, or to pick up their markers, and to pick up scissors, and to make something that looks like it. I mean, it's a catastrophe when you look at it. But at the end of the day, it's a manifestation of my child's love. The Ribono Shel Olam says, the Medrash is no different. He doesn't need us always to do the big sacrifices. Like, life is not about the Karbanos HaNasim. Life is about the menorah. The little act of kindling, the little bit of light that we do through our everyday deeds, the little bit of light that we infuse through our chasodim, through our Torah, through our mitzvos, those little bits of light, that's how we express our love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's those things, it's those little cards, it's those little sparks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds nearest and dearest to his heart. So therefore, again, the Medrash says, Aaron, you're all upset because you didn't get to participate in the big stuff. It's okay. It's not the big stuff, it's not the big sacrifices that get all of God's attention. They're important, and they have their place. Baloch Schas HaNeros. Light the candles of the Mikdash, light the menorah of your heart. Bring a little bit more light into this world, bring a little bit more light into your life, bring a little bit more light into the lives of those around you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's the greatest manifestation of love you could possibly give me. So therefore it turns out, if we bring this all together, that through the mitzvah of the menorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Aaron, by extension us, so many incredible lessons, and understands that he gives Aaron the greatest gift of all, the kingdom of the menorah. Lesson number one, that the Jew always has the ability to revive and to resurge. The Jew always has the ability, even when the lights have been extinguished, to rekindle and to reignite. That's the message of the menorah. Lesson number two, the menorah teaches Hakaras HaTov, how central gratitude has to be in our lives. We have to learn to say thank you. We have to say thank you when people do something good for us intentionally, and even when people benefit us unintentionally, to go out of our way to thank people, even when they provide something for us and they don't even realize what they did or didn't have in mind to do what they did. Why? Because if we become gratitude-laden people, if we become people who master Hakaras HaTov, we will be able to appreciate the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu even more in our lives as well. That's the menorah. Ribono Shel Olam, you give me so much light in my life, please allow me to illuminate your home, not because you need me to, but simply because I want to express my gratitude. And finally, the menorah teaches us ultimately that it's not just the big things that win the favor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Big things are important. Big acts of service, big acts of sacrifice are sometimes necessary. But more often than not, those are not the things that we do on a daily basis. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us are just for tokens of our love, little acts of kindling the menorah, little bits of light, little sparks of light that we generate through all of the good deeds of our lives. And if we light the menorah every single day, as a nation, as individuals, that's the greatest demonstration, ultimately, again, of our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We now begin to understand, or we now conclude with our understanding of why this mitzvah is so important to Aaron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Aaron, don't be upset, don't be depressed. Shelcha gedola mishalahem, because this one little simple act of kindling the menorah has messages that are pertinent for you in the mikdash, but more beautifully has messages for us that resonate with the importance for all eternity. All right, we'll stop over here for tonight. We do have shir next week. Next week is our last shir for the summer. But again, 8 o'clock. We'll be back downstairs in Mirat Hashem next week. Okay, thank you. Correct. Yes. Correct. That is correct. 6:50 this week.